welcome to Trinity Dallas. We pray that this message will be a source of encouragement and hope in your life today. Enjoy today's message.
Now, what I'm really excited about, all those things are exciting and amazing, but what I'm really excited about is our speaker today. You see, our speaker is a good friend of the Rowland family. We've known Miss Brandy McDonald since she was almost a teenager. Brandy is almost grown up in this church. She got connected in her early days over at SMU. She met her husband, BJ, here. She's had a couple daughters here, Brenna and Gianna. She is not only a mother in this house, she is a spiritual daughter in this house. And she's going to be bringing our next passage of Galatians chapter 4 today. And I want to say this, so I think it's important that you all know, Brandy is a woman of character. Brandy is a woman of the scriptures. Brandy is a woman of God. And everything that we teach and preach around here, she's a great and tremendous example of living and walking that out. The reason we can trust Brandy is because she is a genuine follower of Jesus. She's a real follower of Jesus. And so it's our honor today to really give her the first official time here to speak at the church on a Sunday morning. Come on, give it up for Brandy McDonald as we welcome her today.
Thank you. Well, thank you, Pastor Matthew. A big, big thank you to Pastors Joe and Nancy and Pastor Derek and all the pastoral staff, Pastor Robert, just for their support and encouragement. I am thrilled to be able to bring an encouragement from Galatians chapter 4. The message today really is on the beautiful inheritance. It's what I see the theme of this chapter really says. And what I think is also amazing is that not only are we going into the July 4th holiday, but we get to talk about freedom today, because the overarching theme of this letter from Paul to the Galatians is the gospel of grace brings freedom from legalism and sin. And my prayer today is really that we let this message have its full work, Paul's words to the Galatians, that it has its full work in our hearts and minds. It's been working in my heart ever since I started to prepare, and every little bit of legalism that was still lingering, I feel has really been pushed out. And that's what I want for all of us, because it helps me to be able to serve God more freely and to love others, honestly, at a deeper and greater level. And so what Paul has been addressing, if you've missed the intro and the first three chapters, I'll sum it up real quick, but really it is that salvation, your salvation is the result of believing in Christ and receiving the Holy Spirit. It's not your ability to conform to all of the 613 laws in the Old Testament. It's not based on that. It's based on your faith in Jesus Christ. That is such good news. And so what Paul did in the second chapter and first chapter is that he took a hard stance. He rejected the false teaching of these Judaizers that came in and said, I'm thankful that you accepted Christ, but you need to also follow some of these Old Testament teachings. They essentially were saying Jesus plus equals keeping your salvation. And what Paul continually does again is he refers to Old Testament scriptures, and he shows us that God's plan from the beginning was always justification through faith in Christ Jesus. It was always the plan, and at just the right time, it says Christ was born to redeem us from the law in his perfect timing. And if you missed any of these, you can find them on our YouTube channel. We'd love for you to like and subscribe and put it on repeat. Amen? That's what I say. Okay, so let's begin. We're going to back up and start in Acts 13, where we really see the journey of Paul and Barnabas and where they were at and what they proclaimed to the Gentiles. And they were asked when they were in the synagogue to give an encouragement. And this was what they said. Let's pick up in Acts 13, 32. They said, we tell you the good news. What God promised our ancestors, he has fulfilled for us, their children, by raising up Jesus. Therefore, my friends, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Through him, everyone who believes is set free from every sin, a justification you were not able to obtain under the law of Moses. That's what they heard. And then here's what they did when they heard, because every one of us always has an opportunity to respond to the gospel when we hear it. And so this is what they did. I love it. When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and they honored the word of the Lord, and all who were appointed for eternal life believed. So the first point of today, and I want all of us to remember, is that the Gentiles experienced joy when they believed and received the gospel of grace. That sounds simple, but how many of you struggle to receive? Anybody? Anybody? Yes, right? We struggle to receive. I struggle to receive. I'm wearing a gift today, this necklace. I had a friend who went to Israel. That's a costly trip. She went to Israel. She bought a piece of jewelry. And I went over to her house to hear about her trip. And at the end of our conversation, she hands me this pendant and she gives it to me. And how do you think I responded? I felt awkward. I was like, it's not my birthday. It's not Christmas. I didn't get you anything. I just came to hear about, and you provided dinner too. I mean, I just wanted to hear how your trip went. And she said, no, I want you to have it. God told me to give it to you. And I just had to receive it. And it was a struggle. It was awkward. And how often we carry that in to what God wants to give us. Maybe you've already received salvation, but you are struggling to receive forgiveness. You are struggling to receive the mercy of God. You are struggling to receive some type of emotional healing. Can I tell you today, God wants you to stop the struggle and receive in the heart. Just, it's awkward, it's hard, but he says, look, I want to give it to you. Can you just receive it? Receive it. Amen. Okay, so let's begin. We're going to start at the end of chapter 3 in Galatians, where Pastor Derek left off. And Paul is reminding the Gentiles that they are children of God through their faith in Christ. And he's explaining that God is not just the God of Israel now. He is the God and has always wanted all nations to believe and trust in him. And so for a short time, he focused on Israel, but now the time is for everyone to put their faith in him. And so in verse 29, Paul says, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Continuing on into chapter 4, what I am saying is that as long as an heir is underage, he is no different from a slave. Although he owns the whole estate, the heir is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also, when we were underage, we were in slavery under the elemental spiritual forces of the world. But when the set time had fully come, God's timing is perfect. At just the right time, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem. What does that mean? To set free. To redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. That's why I love the worship set today. It was perfect because we were proclaiming that we are children of God. That is not a small thing. That is everything. Because you are his sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts. The spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. This signifies a big change, because now we have an intimate relationship. We're no longer operating out of obligation. You are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. What does all of this mean? Well, here's what I believe it means. See, before Christ came, we were under the supervision of the law. It says that in verse 325. What is the purpose of the law? What was its purpose then? Why did we even have it? The purpose of the law was to function as our tutor. We had to learn, what is God's holy standard? What does he require? What does he expect? He shows us that. He's got a list of things. But then it does another thing. It shows us the error of our ways. It shows us that despite your very best day, the next day's probably not going to be as good, and you've missed it. So good job on that day, but the next day, if you mess up, you know, it's starting all over. So the real purpose of the law from the beginning was to point out that we needed a Savior, that we needed Christ, that He is the only way that we can be made righteous and right standing with God, was our faith in Him. The second thing Paul points out is that we're in bondage to something when we're under in this world, when we're living by worldly principles. Before we're in the family of God, we're under some bondage. And what does that look like? What is that? It's regulations. It's guidelines dictating what you should do, how you should behave. What I like to say is it's behavior modification, not Holy Spirit transformation. You see, it's me just focusing on what I can do, what I can clean up, what wrong things do I need to get rid of, and what right things do I need to start doing so that God is somehow pleased with me. No, He wants you to be transformed into His likeness. And that's not going to happen just because you follow all the rules. That doesn't bring transformation. That just brings about an obedience. But what God is after is the heart. When we're operating by worldly standards, we're operating and under the law, we're operating under obligation instead of from a place of relationship. That is a burden. The Bible calls that a burden. And it steals the joy. And that's what was happening. The Gentiles received freely and joyfully the good news of the gospel of grace. And here comes along these religious teachers that said, nope, I'm thankful you believe, but here's some things you need to do to keep it. And so when we don't adhere to these standards that are placed on us, or maybe no one's placed it on you, you place it on yourself. What happens? You feel shame, you feel condemnation, you feel unworthy. You feel a bit like a prisoner almost. You don't feel like you can freely live. And then we become critical and judgmental of ourselves and of others. We judge other people by what they do or they don't do. We're like, oh, I don't think, man, she was so rude. I can't believe a Christian would act like that. Can you believe that? She said that to me. She's not spiritual. Well, maybe she just had a bad day and had a short temper. I mean, what if someone caught you on your worst day and judged your entire walk of faith on your very worst day? That's not fair, and that's not what God's doing. He's looking at your heart. And so we also kind of look at God as Santa Claus and how He deals with us, that if we're naughty, He's got a strike and a lump of coal waiting for us. But if we're nice, He's ready to just bless you with all the blessings of heaven. But don't mess up because He's got some coal coming for you. That's not what He does. That's not how the kingdom operates. That's not how it works. We deserve death, but by faith in Christ, we get life. I don't make the rules. I just believe the rules, right? I just believe it. So point number three is that we are part of God's family, not because of anything we've done, but because of what Christ has done. And Pastor Matthew said in the miracle of Jesus' service is that the greatest miracle that Jesus did for humanity and that He does for any person is the transformation of the human heart, because you cannot change your own heart. You cannot do it. And if we're relying on rituals and rules, we're still relying on ourselves to make us right instead of depending on Christ's work and the Holy Spirit. So Ezekiel 36:26 says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Pastor Derek said last week that the stone tablets, the Ten Commandments, when you are living a rule-based life, you're looking at the rules and you're trying to conform your behavior to meet all of those rules and, oh gosh, I hope I get it right. But when you're living by the Spirit, it's an inward drive, it's an inward transformation. You're allowing the Holy Spirit to conform you to the likeness. And then by that, you've followed some rules you didn't even know, because you're loving your neighbor, you're keeping God first, but not because you're obligated, but because you love Him. And so I wanna share with you what this has looked like in my family. And we had VBS. Y'all saw the great turnout, the big photo. And so both my kids were there. Gianna led worship with Leah, and that was her first time. And then Brenna is 8, and she shared her story. She has an amazing story. On the third day of VBS, she said during the morning prayer, I don't know who led morning prayer that day, but it was powerful, because the morning prayer, Brenna said that during that time, she felt a spark hit her heart. I said, you did? I said, what happened? She said, well, she said something was covering my heart and the spark knocked it off. I said, oh, really? She said, yes. She said, my heart was crooked, but then he made it whole. Oh, wow. She's 8. That is not 8-year-old language. That's Holy Spirit language. I mean, anybody here would say, how crooked can an 8-year-old heart be? You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, but you see though, God sees her heart. And she said, Mom, I really didn't want anything to do with God before then. I mean, I know I have to come every Sunday, and she's here. She's born here. Y'all heard the story. She's here every Sunday. But the Spirit of God transformed her heart. What the veil that was covering it, that spark knocked it off. And she said, Mom, now I want to follow him, right? That's what she said. I want to follow him and I want to be at church, not out of obligation because Mom and Dad are dragging me, but because I want to learn. I want to learn. I want to learn God's word. That is what I'm talking about. Then Gianna was at Youth for the Nations camp just this past week, and it was amazing. And she texted me on the last day. So see, there's something about the last day. You see, the last day of VBS, the last day of YFN, the last day of whatever's going on. And she said, Mom, I'm overwhelmed. I'm a new person. And I knew what she meant. And I was overjoyed. And again, that is something, it's a heart change. And what this looked like for my own life, and honey, I should have included your story. But you have one too. But my story, I know I'm telling all of ours, but left feet another time. But my story, I grew up in the Catholic Church, and my sister's here this morning, so we both grew up in the Catholic Church, and I was at church most Sundays. I grew up going to CCD, which is the Catholic Catechism, so you learn all about your faith. You learn about the things to do. I made my first communion. I was baptized as a young girl, made my confirmation. I went to all the holy days. We always celebrated Lent. I even went to Stations of the Cross. I got ashes on Ash Wednesday. I mean, always there. And what it that did is it gave me, I had an awareness of God. I knew he was holy and I knew he was good, but he still felt distant. He felt distant, and I didn't know that what I needed was relationship until somebody shared with me at just the right time. And here's what I want to encourage all of you is at just the right time, God wants you to share his word with them, because this is what happened to me and my life was never the same. Growing up, I always had a fear of death. Sounds strange, but I was so afraid to die. And at the height of this fear was in my 20s. And I knew my cousin had come to Christ. And so I asked her a question on family vacation. So you never know. Family vacation can be a life-changing event. Don't discount them. Family vacation, I asked my cousin, because I was so tormented by fear of death, I said, what does the Bible say about fear? Help me out. And she picks up her Bible, and this is why we got to know the word. She opens it up and she turns to Matthew 6, verse 27. And it basically says, can any one of you add a single hour to his life by worrying? At that moment, the word of God, whatever was blinding me, was cut off. Just like Brenna said, the spark hit her, whatever was there was removed. And that brought so much freedom. And I was like, what else does it say? And she just kept reading and reading and reading, and we stayed up all night, and I was never the same. It was a Holy Spirit transformation that brought peace that I was searching for that I had never had, that religious obligation would never bring me that peace that I was longing for. It was the Spirit of God. And so at that moment, I became an adopted daughter, and I stepped into a beautiful inheritance. that we all have as believers. And so I just want to articulate for us the inheritance. What is it? What is this beautiful inheritance? It's the blessing of all nations through justification by faith. This is available to every single person on earth. This was always God's plan. That's what I want you to know. The promise of God is the seed of Abraham, which is Christ, and the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit in the believer. It's that deposit that allows you to cry out to Father God, Abba, Father. Galatians 2:21, if keeping the law has nothing to do with being justified before God. If we could be justified by the law, Christ died for nothing. So let's keep going. Galatians 4, starting in chapter 8. Formerly, when you did not know God, you were slaves to those who by nature are not gods. But now that you know God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you're turning back to those weak and miserable forces? Do you wish to be enslaved by them all over again? You are observing special days and months and seasons and years. I fear for you that somehow I've wasted my efforts on you. They're going back. They were in freedom, and now they're going back. And that's what we do. Human nature wants to bind ourselves to something. And Paul just says those are weak and miserable because they're temporary and they don't do anything as far as making yourself right with God. Just stop all that. Enjoy that intimate relationship because he knows you and now you know him. So let's keep going. I plead with you, brothers and sisters, become like me, for I became like you. You did me no wrong. As you know, it was because of an illness that I first preached the gospel to you. And even though my illness was a trial to you, you did not treat me with contempt or scorn. Instead, you welcomed me as if I were an angel of God, as if I were Christ Jesus himself. Where then is your blessing of me now? Other translations say, where is the joyful and grateful spirit you felt then? I can testify that if you could have done so, you would have torn out your eyes and given them to me. Paul came to them and preached to them because he was sick. Have I become your enemy by telling you the truth? Those people are zealous to win you over, but for no good. What they really want is to alienate you from us so that you may have zeal for them. It's fine to be zealous, provided the purpose is good, and to be so always, not just when I am with you. My dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you, how I wish I could be with you now and change my tone, because I am perplexed about you. Paul asks, is he the enemy because he's speaking the truth? Sometimes the truth brushes us in a different way, makes us feel like that person is against us. But he's for them. He's pointing out that the Judaizers that were adding the Old Testament law, they weren't following the law themselves. What they were after was the following. They wanted them to follow their teaching. Paul wanted them to follow Jesus. That's the big difference. And so Paul's intentions were pure. The Judaizers' intentions were jealousy, and they wanted to feel important because if they had to depend on their teaching, they keep the following. Paul wanted to set people free to follow after God, not after him. And so Paul wanted them to receive that beautiful inheritance. He wanted them not to lose it based on adding things that weren't necessary. And I do love the childbirth analogy because as any mama in here can attest, when you are forming a life in you, whether spiritual or physical, it is uncomfortable, it is exhausting, it can be draining, and it can make you nauseous. And so sometimes when we're walking with people and we're discipling them, we feel all of those same things. And that's Paul saying that, and he's connected. That's an intimate connection that he's not gonna leave them. He's gonna wait till Christ is fully formed. Just like a mom doesn't stop right up into delivery, and it's intense. She pushes forward and she births out that new life. And that is what, I don't know how else, but that's what happens. She doesn't stop at the end when it gets really hard. She pushes through and there's a new life to celebrate. And that is what Paul wants in every one of us. Don't stop. Don't let people crush your joy. Don't let people crush out the spirit, but push through, push through. So the last explanation of law and grace that we have is the illustration from the Old Testament in Genesis, and it's Hagar and Sarah. In Galatians 4:21-31, let's continue. Paul says, tell me, you who want to be under the law, are you not aware of what the law says? It's a good question. Sometimes we just didn't know what it said, but I think they did know. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the slave woman and the other by the free woman. His son by the slave woman was born according to the flesh, but his son by the free woman was born as the result of a divine promise. These things are being taken figuratively. The women represent two covenants. One covenant is from Mount Sinai and bears children who are to be slaves. This is Hagar. Now, Hagar stands for Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present city of Jerusalem because she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem that is above is free, and she is our mother. For it is written, be glad, barren woman, you who never bore a child. Shout for joy and cry aloud, you who were never in labor, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband. Now you, brothers and sisters, like Isaac, are children of promise. At that time, the son born according to the flesh persecuted the son born by the power of the Spirit. It is the same now. What did the scripture say? Get rid of the slave woman and her son. For the slave woman's son will never share in the inheritance with the free woman's son. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we are not children of the slave woman, but of the free woman. What does this mean? It means, and what does it show us? The women represent two covenants. Hagar represents the Mosaic covenant, the giving of the law at Mount Sinai. They had a son, Abraham and Hagar. And this was Ishmael, and that was produced by human effort. It was Sarah and Abraham's attempt to bring about what God had promised. God gave them a word, and it wasn't happening in their time, and they thought, I know what to do. We'll step in, and we'll give ourselves a son. We have a handmaiden here. And so that was their own effort. But that was not what God did. The son of promise is from Sarah. Sarah, the new covenant, she represents where the promise was given, has a son, Isaac, and it was produced by the power and promise of God. And it was like 10 years later. So sometimes our impatience gets the best of us. And so that's what happened to them, but God didn't quit on them or give them a lump of coal. No, he said, I'm still gonna give it to you, but it's by my power, not by your effort. And so we see in the natural that the slave son persecuted Isaac. And it's the same way with people who try to hold to religious practice and external behaviors. They criticize and they judge people who want to follow and live in that blessing under the gospel of grace. And so Paul, he says, get rid of that. Get rid of the Judaizers, get rid of the people that are trying to teach you false things. And for today, maybe you don't have a person telling you, or maybe you grew up kind of learning some things. The heart of God is to say, that's not what I'm asking of you. I want your heart. I want your heart. And so as we close today, it's really simple. The message is, believe and receive. There's joy with that. There's joy in believing whatever God is pointing out in your heart today. We learned that the purpose of the law was to show us that we need Christ. It wasn't just a case of the do better. God is not just telling you to do better. He's saying, give me your heart so that you can experience the beautiful inheritance of faith in Christ. Stop wearing yourself out. It's burdensome to keep all those things to try to obtain favor with God. The truth is that law and grace can't exist in the same heart or in the same house. And so if we could all stand this morning. just want to pray for us as we close out, because I know some of this can be hard, but at the end of the day, God is extending us an invitation to be free, to be free in His family as a son and a daughter. And I'm just asking now if there's anything that the Holy Spirit is putting His hand on in your heart that you need to let go of, that you need to have the Holy Spirit break the chain, or if there's a belief that you've held on to for so long that has really been a barrier, just pray now. And ministry team, if you'd like to come forward, just want to give everyone an opportunity. If you need prayer for something today, we're here for you. Father God, I thank You that Your salvation is a free gift that flows freely from the heart of Jesus to every one of us. And for those who are struggling, for those who feel like they somehow still are unworthy of that gift, would You break that off now in the name of Jesus? If there are people in here who have walked away because of unworthiness or some word that was spoken over you, God wants to know you're not an orphan. You're not an orphan. You're part of His family. So, Father, we thank You for Your free gift. We thank You for Your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for tuning in today. If you'd like to dive deeper into today's message, go to trinitydallas.com/sermons to receive your copy of the notes. If today's message encouraged you, do someone else a favor and share it with them. Also, be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. A special shout out to all those who partner with us through their giving. Your contributions have enabled us to touch the lives of people in our community, as well as around the globe. Visit us at trinitydallas.com/give to partner with what God is doing through Trinity Dallas.